as I said, I did pray. And I believe that God gave me this message for you guys this morning. Sharing a little bit about what I've seen over the last 6 weeks, 8 weeks now, might be slightly longer. And separated into three sections. Give God a chance. God wants to forgive you and restore you to your rightful place. And then God wants to bless you and heal you. And I don't know you, I'm reading at the moment the letters in the Bible. And I started with the three shortest letters because I thought that was a good place to start, really get me into doing some Bible reading. I have to confess, I hadn't done proper Bible readings for a very long time. I was basically getting Bible.com to send me a verse, and I thought, I've got enough time to read a verse and just to reflect on that verse. And then I realised actually I was never reflecting on that verse. I'd be sitting on the loo, quickly reading the verse on my Bible, on my phone, and then heading to work and get back in the evening thinking, I don't remember what. So that I need to do more than that. So I started reading the letters, and I love the start of that first John letter because he talks about this idea that everything that he writes about is true because he saw Jesus, he touched Jesus, he got close to Jesus. And when I was reading that, you'll know, for the people who know me, I like food. And I actually thought about strawberry. And I thought, you know, I could tell you about a strawberry. And I could tell you everything about strawberry. As an abstract thing, I could hold it from afar and I could look up there and see, well, they're red. And they've got green bits on the top. And I could tell you about that strawberry. Or I could smell the strawberry and I could tell you a bit more about the strawberry. Or I could taste the strawberry, and I can tell you everything. And that's basically what John was saying in his very first letter. Everything that he wrote, whether that be in his gospel, and we heard from John in his gospel, or from his letter, is true because he was there. He saw it, he touched it, he heard it, he got close to it. So we know that this guy is telling us everything that's true. And I, as I read that and Tim had spoken to me, I thought, I would like to share with you some of my experiences because the things that I saw, touched, smelled, etc., just to pass it on. Because we've lived through 2 years of hurt, pain, loneliness, global pandemic, and just as we were coming out of that, a crisis happened in Ukraine, bringing, perhaps, certainly for me, the first ever up close sign of conflict. I'd seen it, you know, over in Africa. I'd seen it over in the Middle East, but kind of that's miles away. And suddenly it was up close. And then, as that proceeds, we then go through a cost of living crisis and all our bills are shooting up and everything at the moment seems to be pain, frustration, and perhaps it's easy to think, yeah, God, where are you in this? I've just faced the pandemic and now you're throwing, my gas bill has quadrupled. Where are you in this? But our first reading says, give God a chance. The Lord your God is with you. The mighty one who saves. He will, he does take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you. He's rejoicing over you with singing. I will remove from you, he says, all of your burden. I'm going to take you home, and you will be honoured, and you will be praised. I will rescue you, he says. God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. So we don't have to face crisis on our own. In the same way that Jesus was walking with us through the pandemic, he's walking with us now. In the same way he was full of compassion then, he's full of compassion now. That's what he promised, never to leave us, to hold us in his arms and sing over us. What better picture of love could you have than the Father just holding us? And this morning, the heavens are singing over us. And God is looking at us, and he is rejoicing. And he's holding us. And he calls us, and he says, my beautiful son, my beautiful daughter, I'm here. Just ask, and I will come. My light, we sang that, will shine in the darkness. So the first thing we need to do is just look up. Look up and see the Father who loves us. See Jesus, the one who died for us, and now intercedes for us at his Father's side, and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to our hurts. And he'll do that. And if we need something, if we need that certain word, he'll give us that certain word. And I know that because the day I became a Christian, 30 years ago, when I didn't think anyone loved me, because that's what I thought, I heard the word of God saying, Chris, I love you. Even if no one else does, I do. God will minister to you in the way that you need that ministering to happen. All we have to do is look up. Our second reading says, I want to forgive you and restore you to your rightful place. We heard that our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus. In Zephaniah it says, I will give you honour and praise. I will restore you. In our confession, you know, if you confess your sins, then he is faithful and will forgive. And as Pat beautifully read, though our sins might be as scarlet, they will be as white as snow, because God will wash us clean. And one of the talks, I went to New Wine this year. I wasn't going to go to New Wine this year. Then I decided I wanted to take Stella. So I took Stella for a day because she's from a Pentecostal background. So going to a high Anglican Catholic church, you can imagine it's quite a bit of tension for her because she's not used to lots and lots of liturgy. She's much used to a more free church. She's not used to a church where everyone stands like this as they're singing. She's not used to that. So I thought, let's take her to a day at New Wine. So we went for a day. I tried to get her for a second day. She was working. So I then said to her, look, can I go next week and just go? Because I need to have a bit of a refresh. So off I went to New Wine. And one of the talks really made me think about forgiveness and my relationship with Jesus. And after that, I didn't think I was going. I was sat in the congregation, and the chap said, we're going to talk this morning about forgiveness and about people's relationship with Jesus. And my first thought was, yeah, I know that. Tick. I've done that. I became a Christian age ago. It's obviously the let's get one to be a Christian talk. And you know, chance other people in who come to you who aren't Christians, and they'll then say, you'd like to become a Christian. We're up the front, and they'll pray, and people will become Christians. It'll be very exciting. So I started to switch off. You might be feeling the same thing now. Okay, but I started to switch off. And anyway, then this chap suddenly said this, and it really struck a chord with me. He said, when we say sorry, our sins are forgiven. You're probably thinking, if you didn't know that, Chris, ooh, where was your theology? But then he said, and God forgets that we did ask that sin. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And if they are white, they're not red. And if they're white, as if the red wasn't there, and it's gone. And I thought, yeah, okay, that's obvious, I get that, that makes sense. And then he said, well, how come we live in guilt often because of our sin? And that made me stop and think. And he said, the problem is, we don't take our sins to the cross, even though we think we are. He said, what we do is we take our sins to the recycling plant. So we take them there to be forgiven and forgotten, and then we recycle them and we take them home with us, thinking that's the right thing to do, because obviously feeling guilty, Lord, I'm a sinner, is a really great place to live all the time. And he said, why are you doing that? He said, the moment you said sorry, it's as if you didn't do it. And that really struck me. He said, the chaplain we're not saying, and he wants to restore us to be his sons and his daughters, to have honour and praise again, to bring us home to his presence. So I'm going to take to you what the chaplain said to us at New Wine. He says, so let's stop and ask Jesus to remove our guilt. Know that when we bring our sins to the cross, they are forgiven and we are instantly restored. There isn't a, okay, I'll restore you, but you need to say sorry 5 more times, because blatantly, you are a real sinner. No, when we say sorry and we turn to him, instantly, it's gone. So that was me. I realised I was recycling quite a lot, and kind of enjoyed almost living in that guilt, because I felt I was doing the right thing when I came to the Lord in guilt and shame, and realised that perhaps over the last few months or whatever, I've been living like that, and I realised I had to go back to the Father, and I, you know, implore you to do the same, and say, Father, prune me of the areas that need to be pruned. I'm into gardening now, just to let you know. I've planted 10 daffodils. I planted an azalea. Didn't even know what an azalea was until we bought one. And I planted this other bushy thing. And this bushy thing I planted, when we were at the garden shop, I said to the chap, that is very easy to you just put it in a pot, and then do I just leave it? He said, if you leave it, it will die. I said, okay, I know I have to water it. That's obvious. I haven't watered it yet, but it has rained in Northampton, so I'm kind of hoping it's still alive. But he said, you don't just have to water it. He said, you have to look at the leaves at the bottom. He said, because the leaves at the bottom will turn yellow. And when they turn yellow, you have to remove those leaves. He said, because if you leave those leaves there, then all of the energy is going to go into those rotten, horrible leaves. And the top lovely green leaves will start to also go yellow. This lovely yellow will, and it will be not such a nice plant, and then it will die. So every day I go and look at this plant and I ask myself, is it yellow, is that green? Fortunately, I haven't had to pull one off yet, but I'm waiting for that day when I have to. And I think pruning is a bit like that. You know, we come to the Father, our Father who Jesus said is the gardener, and say, do you know what, can you prune that bit off? And as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, gardeners, is when you chop a bit off and you prune it, you don't think, let's stick it back on the plant again. Okay, you take it off and then you put that bit and you put it to be composted. All right, and you get rid of that bit. So the plant grows. And we need to let the Father do that to us. Let him prune us and know when he's pruned us, the bit that he's pruned has gone. We don't have to ask for it back. That's for him to do whatever he does with it. But it's gone. Because when we say sorry, it's forgiven and restored instantly. And finally, our reading tells us God wants to bless and heal us. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." It then goes on to say, and then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They seemed to see what looked like tongues of fire resting on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak as the Spirit enabled them. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he did it then, he'll do it again. He'll do it today. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you, empower you to do God's will here in Buckingham, in your workplace, in your street, in this church, in this community. He wants to bless you. Now, I know for me, the first time I heard that, and this might be you, I thought, what have I got to offer Jesus? Okay, I'd be a bit of a fool, but you know, I'm the kind of person, as I did this week, who does DIY from a chair, discovers that's a bad idea, the chair collapses and you hit the floor with a thud, leaving a drill thrown one way. Fortunately, it was thrown away from where Stella was standing, otherwise that could be bad. What have I got to offer? And he says, nothing. But I'll equip you. And if you come with nothing and say, "Lord, I come to you empty handed, he'll then fill it. Because that's the next talk that really struck me in UI. He said, usually what people do, they come to the Father like this and say, "Father, you know, what do you want to give me?" And it's like, "Well, I can't hold anything out because I'm my hands are full." And perhaps he's saying, "Well, put that down. And now I can give you, and now I can, you can receive because you've got empty hands now that you can hold some stuff." And it might be that, you know, you think, "But I've done X, Y, and Z. Why would God?" And I say, "Hallelujah, just look at the disciples. You know, Peter denied Jesus. James and John, they had a bit of a temper. They went to Jesus and went, 'Hey, I'm the best. Can I sit by your throne of God? Because, hey, you know, I'm better than him and her. Let me sit here with your—'" They had huge pride. Matthew, the tax collector, he probably swindled people. Judas Maccabeus, he was a fighter. You know, so Simon Zealot, he was a zealot. He was a fighter. He was a fighter. You know, so God used some really seemingly not useful people, but they came to Jesus. He equipped them and were here 2,000 years later because they said, "Have you heard about Jesus?" to their friends. And I know the equipping might not be, and the healing, because I believe God does that, might be what you expect. And my two more stories. Again, I was at UI, and I was really lucky with UI this year because I was going to live in, I don't like tents, but because I thought I'd need to go to UI, and I looked at the price of the hotels, I thought, "No, I'll be in a tent." So I bought myself a tent, really cheap, £20 from Halford. I think if it had rained, it would have come through. Bought myself an airbed because I realised the camp that I had wasn't going to fit in this tent that I had. And I thought, okay, it's only for four or five nights. I can sleep without, I can live without any sleep for that time. That's fine. Service for the Lord. And then my minister's wife got COVID. I thought, say hallelujah, but that would sound, that'd be really inappropriate in a church. But actually, for me, it was a real blessing because, see, she got COVID and my minister then said, "Rowena can't come. I've got a four-man RB thing. Would you like to convert it into a man den for the 5 days? And you'll have a nice, proper bed with a lovely mattress." And I went, I shouldn't say hallelujah, but yes. So my, never actually opened this tent, went back to Halfords, and I had this RV. So I felt there was a little bit found guilty that I shouldn't be feeling so excited. So I went to a talk on healing, and the person who was talking about healing, about God moving, then said, and now we're going to, just invite God to come, and we'll put into practice what you've heard. So if you pray in your church, please come forward, because you're going to be in prayers. So some people came forward, and I was sat here, and that week at New Wine, three people had been healed completely of healing, of hearing. They were completely deaf, and they were sat in the signing bit, and they went forward, and rather going back to the signing bit, they realised they didn't have to anymore, so now they sat here, because now they can hear perfectly. So that had happened, and the chap said that God seems to be doing stuff with ears, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm deaf in my left side, but actually that's a bit of a blessing, because when I fall asleep, I can lean on my, so I put an ear plug in my right ear, I don't hear anything. And it's lovely, so there'd be lots of noise, and I just sleep through it. This is lovely, so I really don't want to be healed of that, Lord. Thank you. But I thought, I really should pray for Rowena, because that seems only fair. So I went forward, and I knelt down, and this chap came up to me, on my right side, fortunately. He said, hello, what's your name? And I said, Chris. He said, well, can I pray for him? I said, no, not really. And you can see this chap being really deflated, because I think he thought he was about to lay his hands, and everything was going to be... I went, no. And he went, oh. I said, but I'm here because I'm praying for my minister's wife. And I explained the whole story of the RV and the COVID and the van and that took quite a long time. And then he said, well, let's pray together for Rowena. And I said, that's cool. So I shut my eyes and he was praying. And then, really inconsiderate, this chap appeared on my left-hand side and just started praying. Which is really bad, because I can't hear on my left-hand side. I just felt this chap, every so often, was like, just tapping my shoulder. But I couldn't hear what he was saying. And I'm thinking, I've no idea what you're praying. Because you don't even know what I'm praying for, and what this chap here's praying for. This is really bad. You should have asked if I could pray, and I just said no. And then you'd have gone away. But anyway, he just carried on praying. And that week, I found I couldn't do this without pain. Okay, that had been about the last 3-4 months, really quite painful. Anyway, so I'm busy praying, and I'm going... This is kind of weird. Really weird, what? Really weird. Why is that not hurting? That's strange. Anyway, so the prayer came to a close, and the chap on my right said, I'm sure God's heard your prayers for Rowena. And I said, yes, I'm sure they are. And then the person on the left said, who's Rowena? And I said, well, that's the funny thing. I said, because had you asked, you would have known why we were praying. And he went, okay, so why were you doing this? I was really like, I said, well, that's even more funny, because that doesn't hurt anymore. I said, But that's not what I was praying for. And then he went, that's funny, because I knew this morning God said I was going to come into the arena and pray for someone who couldn't open and close their wrist, their hand, without pain. And he said, that's what I was praying for. And I just went, that's weird, and then walked off. I have to admit, because it was really weird. But it hasn't hurt since. Now, I did not go to that meeting thinking God was going to heal my hand at all. Definitely didn't want my hearing healed, and I just say thankfully he hasn't. But, I'm not, in a sense, I'm quite happy for that not to be healed. But this was weird, because actually it was getting a bit of a pain at school when I'm holding a pen thinking that really hurts. Sometimes the blessing isn't what we need. Sometimes the healing isn't what we need. Sometimes it might be a memory that needs healing. Sometimes it might be a hurt that was said many years ago that needs to be healed. Sometimes it might be physical, but God wants to bring blessing and healing, I believe. And then I discovered something else, and this is where I'll finish. That God does amazing things when we decide to step out and sacrifice and stuff. Because I thought, well, Rowena hasn't come, and therefore she won't have heard the talks that I heard. And you might do an online, I was telling Tim this morning, they do an online tape, but it's an online subscription thing, that you can have your individual subscription, or you can have a church subscription. And the church subscription is really for a minister to buy and to give his church. So I said to Griff, look, I'm going to buy the church's subscription. And he went, that's quite expensive. I said, I know, I just think that's right. So I'm going to buy that, and then you can give it to Rowena, and she can then hear the talks. And anyone else in our very high Anglican Catholic Church who you think needs to hear, you can give the tape to them as well, or the online subscription to them as well. And on the way home, I said to Griff, look, you've cooked for me all this week. It's been lovely. Look, why don't we stop at McDonald's for breakfast on our way home, and I'll buy you a McDonald's. And it was a lovely thank you present. But I thought, let's go and buy. So we started at McDonald's, and I ordered quite a lot. And when Griff saw it, he said, I usually just have like a burger and I'd brought a McFlurry and some other things. But we finished it all off between the two of us, mainly me. He had some as well. And I got home, and there was a letter on our table from the tax man. And I thought, this is bizarre. What have I done wrong? So I opened it up, and there was a cheque for exactly the amount that I paid for the subscription and for the McDonald's. So I had to phone up the group and say, I didn't purchase either of those things, just so you know, because God's given it back to me via the taxman. And that doesn't happen to me. You know, I'd say that's never happened to me in my life. But I think it was the culmination this summer that I needed to hear that God actually, and I passed on to you, that God will honour our sacrifice, that he does want to bless each of you. He does want to heal each of you. He doesn't want anyone to live in guilt or shame. He wants you to hear that it's forgiven and forgotten, and that he wants just to then pour out more of his blessing onto each one of us so that we are restored to that place. So what's our response going to be? Well, there are four. I was thinking about this, and this is a bit, I have to admit, where I don't know if this last bit's from God. Okay, I'll share that with you now, because this is my thinking. But I thought there were four possible responses. Response number one, we do what perhaps we do lots of Sundays. It's certainly what I do on a Sunday, when you say, lovely, lovely talk, and then you just go home. Or you might go, rubbish talk, glad you left. You know, whatever it is. You know, there's that response where you just think, I heard something, it was kind of nice, I had a bit fuzzy feeling, or I got a bit cross, or whatever it was, and I go home and do nothing. Response number one. And that's okay to have that response. Okay, that's seriously okay. Secondly, it might be, I wonder if God spoke to me this morning, but you know, I've not really heard that before. And the last time I stepped out was a bit embarrassing because I was the only person who came forward. So I'll just sit where I am. But I'll think about it. And I'll pray where I am. And that too is an okay response. Response number three is you're sitting there and God has spoken to you. And you know that you know you're forgiven, but you don't know it's forgotten. And you're praying, Jesus, I need to know that. I need to know that. I want to be restored to my proper place. I want to leave my guilt and shame at the foot of the cross, and I want to know that you are smiling over me and holding me in your arms. And that's an okay response. Or it might be, Jesus, you know, I know that, but I just want more of you. I just want a blessing as well. You know, I too have had a really bad week, or I might be, or I know there's something that I just, there's something that is just I keep on going back to, and it just hurts. And it might be that you've had a really rubbish week,
or a rubbish 3 months, or a rubbish year, or a rubbish 5 years, or whatever it is, and you're going to choose, I want to give you that this morning, because I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and just to start a new thing with me. Because I want to say yes, Jesus, now, for that. And that's an okay response as well. And we're going to sing some songs to finish. I was thinking this, and I thought, well, I love strawberries, but not everyone might like strawberries. So I thought people might like plums or grapes. Or if you're really out there, you might like a banana. So I thought, let's bring those in. And I invite you, while we're singing this next song, just to come and have a piece of fruit, or lots of fruit, because I don't want to take any away with me, because it might as well all go. You know, and if we finish that off, there's loads of apples at the back, which we can then start hiding through as well. You know, but let's do that as an act of those last two. Yes, I'm coming to the foot of the cross, Jesus, because I want to say, I know I need to leave that at the foot and know it's been forgiven and forgotten, and then let Jesus give you a bit of fruit to say that I'm filling you with your spirit, with my spirit. I'm filling you with my spirit. If it's a case of, you know what, I just want a bit more of you, Jesus. You know, I know I've had a really hard, and I still haven't really got back to where I want to be. Again, during when we're singing, come and, you know, and if you want some prayer, then do ask, and I'm happy to pray for you. I'm sure Andrew would be happy to pray for you, and we'll just pray for you. And let's just pray. And Jeff as well, we'll just pray, and God will just bless you. And if that means that, for example, all the band isn't here, because they're one up front, hello, we'll just sing without the band. You know, because that's okay, because I'd rather God meet people. But we're going to sing a song that, interesting enough, it's a song I used when I last preached at Welsh Street via Zoom. And it's the blessing that was in Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. Can we have the words? Margaret. May his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And what I would like, and this happened at New Wine. This is my last story of New Wine, sorry. That they sang the song at New Wine. And I don't know if you've ever been to these big conferences when obviously the band is finished and they want to then stop. Well, that happened, and the band, the person playing the guitar, put his guitar down, and they moved away, and suddenly this started being sung by the people in the congregation. And people were turning to one another and just saying, the Lord bless you. Make his face shine upon you. And we just started blessing each other. And people were crying. And people were coming forward saying, and there was prayer going on. Well, this song was just blessing everybody. So we're going to sing this, but let's sing it to each other. Let's pray God's blessing on this. You know, as we started, grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ and his Father. Let's pray that to one another. And if God has spoken this morning, then I say I invite you to just come and just say yes. But I say, don't feel you have to. The first two responses are fine. But if you want to, let's do that. And if you'd like prayer, then do ask, because I just want to pray for people if that's what people want. And can we switch it off there? Cool.